Lord, I just pray right now that you would set my words on fire and set our ears on fire, that you might be glorified, that we might hear your word, that we might go behind the printed word and see the nuggets that are hidden there that are so beautiful. So, Lord, thank you for each person here today, tonight. And may you feel so loved and so cared for by each of us. And I declare this through your blood and in your name. The title of my message is, there was supposed to be something by, there it is. Yeah, how about that? I want to thank my oldest son for doing that for me. He's supposed to be here tonight. So anyway, the title of my message is a personal, with emphasis on personal, a personal shepherd, a personal savior. A lot of people don't understand that. Psalm 23 was one of the first passages of scripture that I memorized so many years ago. I'm going to recite it for you, but with a little different slant. I know you'll pick up what I'm doing. Remember, a personal savior and a personal shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You get the drift so far? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, what's the point I'm trying to make there? Now, if I was teaching this, I'd be asking you all kinds of questions, but I'm preaching. So, obviously, I'm dealing with a personal shepherd and a personal savior. How many of you remember when you didn't understand that? And, you know, we have so many people today that with Star Wars and all that, the force be with you. But our God, our Jesus, is a personal God. Here's some of the points we're going to do tonight. We're going to try to extract from Psalm 23. Psalm 23. First question, what is hidden in Psalm 23? The shepherd's psalm. How does a shepherd really care for his sheep? Humans are frequently referred to as sheep. What makes us similar to sheep? Is divine revelation bound with the natural world? And how did Jesus explain supernatural truth? And how did Jesus create a pasture for us? Did you know our fears and our timidity and our stubbornness and our stupidity and our perverse habits are parallels to the behavior of sheep? We're human sheep, aren't we? So as I go through this tonight, I want you to look at yourself. I want you to think about yourself. You're a human sheep, right? I'm a human sheep. We're going to compare ourselves tonight to sheep. Human sheep. You got it? All right. One of the things that we all need, consider the following points. For sheep to sleep, everything must be just right. No predators, no tension in the flock, no bugs in the air, no hunger in the belly. Everything must be just so. Well, that sounds like us, doesn't it? Yeah, man, if there's a bug in the room or a bug in the bed, wow, we can't sleep, can we? No. So, again, human sheep. Unfortunately, sheep cannot find safe pasture, nor can they spray insecticide, deal with frictions, or find food. They need help. We need help. They need a shepherd to lead them. Of course, you all know the difference between a cattle drive and a sheep herder. The sheep follow the shepherd. The cattle driver is behind the cattle and drives them, right? So they need a shepherd to lead them and to help them and to lie down in green pastures. We all know that. That's what that beautiful verse says. So without a shepherd, they can't rest. How about you? Can you rest without a shepherd? We all know who our shepherd is, right? Who is he? Moses? No, he's Jesus. Say it out loud. Yeah, it's Jesus. Isaiah 45, 2 and 3, you've heard me say this verse before. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will cut and sunder the bars, or break in pieces the gates of brass and cut and sunder the bars of iron. I will give you treasures in darkness and hidden riches of secret places. That's what the shepherd does for the sheep. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. A shepherd would select the trail and prepare the pasture. Did you know that? Or did you have the mindset, you know, here's this flock of sheep and they're all following him. And oh, there it is, this lush green pasture right here. Just go right up there and eat and lay down and have a good time. Guess what? It's not like that at all. How many of you have been to Israel? All right, hold on to that for a second. So green pastures were not the natural terrain of Judea. I've been there. They're anything but green. The hills around Bethlehem, where the shepherd kept his flock, where King David would have kept his flock, were not lush, and they were not green. Any green pasture in Judea is the work of some shepherd. Any green pasture right now in the United States of America is the work of a shepherd. He would have cleared the rough, rocky land. Stumps would have been torn out. My goodness, how did they do that without a stump grinder? And brush would have been burned. Irrigation and cultivation would have required a great deal of work to eventually have a green pasture. This was no easy task, being a shepherd. He would search for poisonous plants and ample water. He would look for signs of wolves, coyotes, bears, cougars, you name it. And he would have carried with him, now get this, this is what is so special. He carried with him a special oil. Oh, wow. Well, hold on to that, okay? So what's the sheep's job? What's the human sheep's job? To watch the shepherd at all times. I know you know that. Sometimes it just helps to have somebody else say it once in a while. With our eyes on our shepherd, we will be able to get some sleep. Boy, do I know that. Here's one of my favorite verses I memorized a long time ago, too. Isaiah 26, 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isn't that beautiful? Keep our mind stayed on him. Well, the shepherd would have been constantly on the watch for the adder. How many have heard of the adder? How many remember the psalm it's in? Psalm 91? Okay. All right. The shepherd would be constantly on watch for the adder. And the adder is a small brown snake that lives underground. In Psalm 91, okay? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways, and to bear thee up in their hands, lest they dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the, what? Lion and the adder. Now, some translations refer to it as a cobra. I'm not quite sure why they do that, because the adder is one of the most dangerous snakes to sheep. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and upon the young lion shalt thou, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Now, listen to this. Adders are known to pop out of their holes and nip the sheep in the nose. You know any human adders? The bite often infects and can even kill. As a defense against the snake, David would have used that special oil that I mentioned by pouring a circle of oil at the top of each of the adder's hole. Now, if I was teaching this, I'd be asking, why? Why? David would have used this special oil for that reason. He also applies the oil to the nose of the sheep. The oil on the snake's hole lubricates the exit, preventing the snake from coming out, climbing out. The smell, look at this now, the smell of the oil on the sheep's nose drives the serpent away. Is that something? That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. You know, Lynn and I, when we've ministered for years and years and years at the altar, we always anointed the people we prayed with oil. Always. And I've kind of gotten away with that. When I was preparing this, I've kind of convicted myself of that. So from now on, if you want me to pray with you, I'm going to get you with oil. I remember at one at Christian Life Center in Cincinnati, this is 30, 40 years ago, they had an evangelist. Remember Vestal Goodman, you people that are as old as me? Well, they had this lady who went forward, poor thing. Anyways, she was addicted to nicotine, and Vestal just poured a whole bottle of oil all over her. I'll tell you what, it worked, because out of her came this green slime, and that woman got delivered. You know, sometimes I don't want to mess up this lady's hair now. You know what? Oh, who cares? Anyways, so David, the smell of the oil on sheep's nose drives the serpent away. What kind of smell do we give off? We're human sheep. What kind of smell are you giving off? Do people go, unbelievers go, eh? If that guy is a Christian, I don't want anything to do with his religion. What kind of smell, what kind of fragrance are we giving off? Are we self-righteous? Just evaluate yourself. You know, we may think individually we're just the humblest people gone. But maybe we're not. Maybe we're the problem. I don't know. Anyways, let's go on here. So the smell of the oil on the sheep's nose drives the serpent away. David, in a very real sense, prepared the table for his flock, just as God prepares a table for us. In verse 5 of this psalm, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In the presence. How many of you had that happen to you? You got people that, you know, they don't like you, and yet you're forced to deal with them, whatever it is. And isn't it beautiful how the Holy Spirit will come in and just make things right? I can't tell you, when I was a school principal for so many years, boy, oh boy, this person would come in ready to read me the riot act. I think if they had a sword or a gun, they'd shoot me. And usually it wasn't my fault. I was defending my teachers. And so I understand how people can get about that. And God always delivered me through that. Here's another thing that you need to be aware of, that the shepherd always was aware of. Nose flies are deadly to sheep. How many know what a nose fly is? Wow. I'm going to educate you tonight. How about that? By the way, one of my major sources besides the Bible with this, I found it online. about 14, 15 years ago, and it was written by a shepherd who became a lay pastor. And he shepherded a flock of sheep for 8 years in East Africa. And his insights into what a true shepherd has to do for the flock that he's in charge of and cares for was amazing. So, no slies are deadly to sheep. I'll tell you what they are in a second. If they succeed in depositing their eggs in the soft membrane of the sheep's nose, the eggs become worm-like larvae, which drive the sheep insane. How many times have we seen human sheep literally driven insane? For relief from this agonizing annoyance, sheep will deliberately beat their heads against trees, rocks, posts, or brush. In extreme cases of intense infestation, a sheep may even kill itself in a frenzied attempt to stop the aggravation. That's happening to human sheep all over the place, isn't it? Suicide rates are up. Unbelievable. So when a swarm of nose flies appears, sheep panic. They run, they hide, they toss their heads up and down for hours, they forget to eat, they aren't able to sleep, you stop milking, and here's the saddest thing of all, lambs stop growing. They're literally swarming in our cities, human nose flies. Our public schools and universities, and in the halls of government across America. For this reason, the shepherd would have anointed sheep with the oil that I've already spoken about, an oil-like repellent. The fragrance keeps the insects at bay and the flock at peace. How about, one thing I thought about doing when I'm done here, is everybody that's praying tonight, we would anoint with oil, but I don't know if we have time to do that. I should have asked you that ahead of time. But anyways, so let's go on. How many remember Psalm 42, verse 11? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. In the Christian life, there is great danger in always looking for the easy place, the cozy corner, the comfortable position where there is no hardship, no need for endurance, no demand upon self-discipline. I was one of those. When I was a young principal at 27, I did everything I could to circumvent any confrontation whatsoever. That was just me at that time. And I learned real fast that that ain't going to work. And that's when I have told you before that my wife said, when are you going to get up off the floor, quit letting these people walk all over you? My life changed at that point. So sheep are no different. Sheep, the sheep that choose the comfortable, soft, rounded hollows in the ground in which to lie down, very often become cast. In such a situation, it is so easy for them to roll over on their backs. So what could be the significance of a cast sheep or a cast down sheep? This is an old English shepherd's term for a sheep that has turned over on its back, cannot get up again by itself. It is a very pathetic sight, so this shepherd says, lying on its back, its feet in the air, it flays away frantically, struggling to stand up without success. Sometimes it will bleat a little for help. But generally, it lies there lashing about in frightened frustration. If the shepherd does not arrive, here we go, enter the shepherd, enter King David, enter Jesus. If the shepherd does not arrive on the scene within a reasonably short time, the sheep will die. How important is our involvement for people that are hurting and lost? They need us. They need us. Let's see where I left off here. This is but another reason While it is so essential for a careful shepherd to look over his flock every day, counting them to see that all are able to be up and on their feet. Your Jesus looks over you every day. Every day we have a chance to give ourselves to him, don't we? Here's the kicker right here. If one or two are missing, often the first thought to flash into the shepherd's mind is, one of my sheep is cast somewhere. What's cast mean again? On their back, feet in the air, totally helpless. You know some human sheep that are like that? Maybe you were a time in your life where you were depressed and down and whatever, and you just kind of rolled over on the couch or your bed and didn't want to get up. I remember going to one of the guys in my congregation who was a dear friend. His wife called me. He couldn't do anything. He was so depressed. He was laying in his bed. I climbed on his bed and got over him and began to pray against this thing and pray for him to recover. People are hurting. He was a strong Christian man. It can happen to any of us. One of my sheep is cast somewhere. This is what the shepherd says. I must go in and search and set it on its feet again. That's what how many of you had Jesus do that to you? Raise your hand. Yeah. Well, if you didn't, praise God. Praise God. Often it is the fat sheep that are the most easily cast. A heavy, fat, or long-fleeced sheep will lie down comfortably in some little hollow or depression in the ground. It may roll on its side slightly to stretch out or relax. Suddenly, the center of gravity in the body shifts so that it turns on its back far enough that the feet no longer touch the ground. I think, like we said, we know some human sheep like that. It may feel a sense of panic and start to paw frantically. Frequently, this only makes things worse. It rolls over even further. Now it is quite impossible for it to regain its feet. It is not only the shepherd who keeps an eye out, sharp eye for the cast sheep, but also the predators. Think of these predators now. I'm going to give you the natural predators. Think of the human predators going about right now. Buzzards, vultures, dogs, coyotes, and cougars all know that a cast sheep is easy prey and death is not far off. So who are some of the human predators? Human trafficking is out of control in this country. I can't even imagine losing one of my children to a human trafficker. Never, maybe ever seeing that child again. Drugs, alcohol, we all know that. False teaching. This is why we need each other. We need to lock arms. This is why on a Wednesday night, we need the 30-minute message. We do. We need each other. Because that's what Lynn and I used to do. We'd always bounce something off each other if something didn't sound right, especially if we had a guest speaker at our church. You know, we would listen intently to make sure that that person was not saying anything that was contrary to the Word of God. And lying politicians, frankly, is, I think that's big in our country today. So, scholars also say it is not only the shepherd that keeps a sharp eye, but there is also the aspect, too, of a sheep simply having too much wool. Sometimes when the fleece becomes very long and heavily matted with mud, manure, burrs, and other debris, it is much easier for a sheep to become cast, literally weighed down with its own wool. Scholars say that wool in Scripture depicts the old self life in the Christian. Did you know that the high priest, I bet most of you probably do, was never allowed to wear wool into the Holy of Holies? What did he wear? Linen. So what would happen is the wool spoke of self, of pride, of personal preference, and God could not tolerate that. What was the remedy? What do you do with a sheep like that? What do you do with a human sheep like that? Share it. It's probably up there. I don't know what's up there. But hey, you probably know all the answers before I say them. Maybe I put too much up there for you. I want you to think a little bit. Anyway, shear the sheep. Sheep do not really enjoy being sheared, and it represents some hard work for the shepherd. Wow. But it must be done. Similarly now, for us human sheep, with our old self-like, we need to be sheared. How many of you have been sheared? Did you like it? No, not at all. The believer needs to be sheared too, doesn't he or she? There will come a day when the master must take us in hand and apply the keen cutting edge of his word to our lives. Let me give you an example of a sheep that got sheared, a human sheep that got sheared. How many of you all remember the Brownsville revival, Pastor John Kilpatrick? Well, when that revival began to kind of go down, okay, he started traveling a lot. He came to all the pastors in Cincinnati, all the AG pastors, and we were all together, and he told this story. There was a couple in his congregation that I don't know what they were doing, I don't remember, but whatever it was, he didn't like. So he confronted them personally, and there was no change in their behavior. So we got the elders of the church together, and they confronted this couple personally. Still, things didn't change. So it was on a Sunday morning, and if you remember, that sanctuary is pretty good size. And he says to the congregation, how many of you know so-and-so? They're sitting up in the first row of the balcony there. You know what he did? He says, you are to have no fellowship with them. I remember hearing that as a pastor and thinking, wow. Oh, wow. But you know what? If more of us would do that, maybe we wouldn't have so many problems. All right, let me bring this to a quick conclusion here. Just ask yourself, are there no flies that are penetrating your heart and mind? Are they bugging you? Or are they just swarming around you? Keep in mind now, Jesus with his own pierced hands created a pasture for our souls. Okay? He purged us of our sin and replaced our sin with his grace and mercy. His pasture is a gift to us. What do we do with the gift? We either reject it or we accept it. It's a gift. We've not cleared it, nor have we deserved it. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. And then here's the good part. At that time, each will receive the praise from God. And conclude with this. All we like sheep, Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Hey, Bonnie, come up here and hold this mic for me. I'm going to end with this object lesson here. All right. This hand represents me, okay? By the way, I took this evangelism explosion course 34 years ago, 16 weeks in the classroom, 16 weeks going door to door, and it changed my life. Anyways, this is me, and that verse says that everything, that there's a record book of my sin. Oh, boy. And it says, according to that, that when we stand before the Bema judgment seat of Christ, these books, this book which has every lousy thing that I ever did, every idle word I spoke, the record book of my sin. I don't want you to know about that. But it says it's going to be open. I'm going to tell you right now, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, I stand condemned, and so do you. So here it is. Here's me. Here's my sin. Notice what it is. It's covering me. Covering me. Not only that, it's heavy. Sin is heavy. Wow. And then there's a chasm between me and Jesus, that Jesus is going to bridge, that we can be reconciled to the Father. So all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Okay, let me say that again. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So what is it now? There's no chasm anymore. And none of this anymore. Now we're like this. That's what he did for us. Isn't that beautiful? I got that out of this. Anyways, the last my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And then the last verse, as it closes with this, if you do not stand firm in your faith, I added the faith. If you remember last time I spoke, I talked about the life I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So if you or we do not stand in the faith, we will not stand at all. Thank you. Hopefully I wasn't too late.
We're clear. You're good. Thank you, Pastor John.